Man, what a day. I hope for you it started off like it has me as far as worship goes. This morning might have been a little different story when my eyes first opened and all of that was going on, but been a great day thus far to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us today. Last week, we finished out our study in the book of Corinthians, and so we understood or heard, hopefully we listened, to Paul's letter with all the commendation and all the correction and all of the doctrine and all of the joy and being reminded that we have hope in Christ, for he has been risen from the dead, the tomb is empty, and because Christ has been raised, we too can anticipate a great resurrection in our own life through faith in him. And so we've closed that out, or we kind of came to the end of that study. And so I wanted to put before us today the blessed privilege of gathering for worship. Some of you may be aware we're reaching that time when we're going to start talking about church membership and all those kind of things. And I just want to put before us the reason why we do gather and why it is an honor and a privilege. Paul admonishes the believers in his letter titled Hebrews. It's to the Hebrew believers outside of Jerusalem, and he's writing this letter to them to encourage them to gather often. We can look at Hebrews 10:25. It says, do not neglect the gathering of yourselves, as is the matter of some. So he tells us to come together, all right, to encourage one another often, stirring one another up to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together. Yet culture has shifted us away from Paul's instruction. We are told to gather often to encourage one another, to build one another up in love and good works. But culture has drifted us into an attitude of apathy. And I feel that. I don't know if you do or not, but culture, especially Western culture, ours, we're so comfortable and we're so free to do the things we want to do, that church has become subject to convenience. Like, I ain't got anything else to do on Sunday morning, so I'll stop by. But if anything else comes along, then I've got other plans. Well, my heart started out with a polemic idea. In other words, like, we got to do better idea. And you may hear that, and if you do, then, you know, pray that you heed that. Just being a little bit transparent, I started out with a polemic idea. But through the course of the week and my time in the Word, God has worked on my heart. And I have listened to what I have been teaching on Wednesday night. James has confronted me. I don't know if any of you, or many of you, some of you do know, we're going through the book of James. We're in the first chapter. And as I'm teaching through this about count it all joy when you fall into trials of various kinds, when James talks about not judging with partiality to show no partiality. He's given us all this instruction. And in James chapter 1, verse 20, James says these words, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So my heart kind of changed in how I was approaching today. As I think about in my own home, when I discipline my children, I try to do it not out of anger, but out of love. Now, there's firm words that have to be spoken. There's punishment that has to be meted out. But I want it to be based upon, and I want them to know it's coming from a place of love and not from personal anger. And so as I've prepared for today and reflected over what I've been teaching all week, and it's funny how the Word does that, I've got a heart of compassion to not come at you out of anger, but to come out of you with a personal plea, with a reminder, with an encouragement that might help us to gather often, as it says, and to encourage one another and stir one another up to love and good works, not through anger and frustration. I plead with you to consider your motivation for being here this morning. Whether today is your first time at New Home, as there's some that I've just met today, whether you're not even a believer, but you have come here today, I believe that God has an intent for that as well. Maybe you've been here your whole entire memory. What I mean by that is you can't remember ever having gone to a different church. You can't remember ever having lived in another community. You cannot remember ever having been away from New Home as a body. There is a reason why you came or chose to come today. I believe God drew you here for a purpose. And I hope by the end of our time together, you'll be encouraged as I have been this morning singing songs. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Behold our God. All these wonderful songs that we have been singing with great and wonderful lyrics. He Will Hold Me Fast, one of my favorites. I thought we had done that. Found out today Matthew's never played it here. So anyway, I hope you're encouraged. All right, I want to strengthen you today. I don't want to condemn anyone. I just want to try to remind us of the beauty of being able to gather. Let me just, again, culture, Western especially, has helped us become apathetic and see church as a matter of convenience. Do you know that all around the world there are people that cannot gather, though they would want to? There are. It's because of the freedoms that we enjoy, it's a two-edged sword. We can come to church and gather as often as we'd like without fear of persecution or even prosecution or really of anyone by government mandate or even any normal causes coming in here and shutting us down. We can come as often as we want. And the double-edged sword of that is it becomes just another day. I got to go to church because, well, it's Sunday. And my mama told me I had to be in church. My grandparents taught me you go to church on Sundays. And I'm thankful for all of those lessons. Thank you, mamas. Thank you, daddies. It said, you're going to church today. But let me just ask you to consider what got you here this morning. Let me just talk, if I'm able, if the Lord will grant me the ability to, about the reason, the purpose, and the honor and the joy of being able to come together. Now, you don't have your normal insert, and there's a purpose behind that. I don't know where this might go. Some of y'all went, uh-oh. There is some guardrails, but not necessarily a structure of blanks. As I prayed over this and how to encourage us to want to gather together, I began to think through Scripture, particularly in the Psalms. The Psalm we're going to be reading together today is Psalm number 122. It's known as a song of ascents, or psalm of ascent. This is when David is bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. It has been carried away. They've gone, they recaptured it. They were a little bit scared of the power that it held. They placed it outside in another city. David came to know that that city had been overwhelmingly blessed. This is in 1 Samuel. Matt. 22, 1 Kings 22, maybe. Anyhow, the ark had been away. The presence of the Lord, what was understood to be the presence of the Lord, had not been in the house of David, had not been in the city of Jerusalem. They're bringing it back in, and David is excited, to say the least. He's rejoicing. The presence of the Lord, we get to go back into the presence of the Lord. It's being restored into the house. It's being brought into the city. And David writes this psalm. If you would, in honor and reverence for reading of God's word, stand with me as we'll read Psalm 122 together, all 9 verses. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for this message from David. The idea of being glad when we are invited are encouraged to join a body as they go into the house of the Lord. As David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, may that be our anthem today. May we rejoice that you've brought us here. That there's a day set aside that we will gather and come to sing praises, to be challenged in the Word, to be reminded of who we are, to be comforted by your presence, to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, to have fellowship with other believers. Lord, would you magnify your name amongst us today as we are here in the house of the Lord to the praise of your glory. I thank you for all who have wandered in, whether longtime members, visitors, unbelievers, children, adults, approaching the end of days as they graciously look forward to the day when they are entered into your courts for eternity, or just began our journey of life in pursuit of making it to your wonderful city, Jerusalem, city of peace. Father, would you help us today? Would you walk us ever closer to you? Draw us as only you can. To the praise of your glory, in the name of the Son, we pray. Amen. I want you to pick up on this excitement that David has. Just for a moment, let's think about David. David's a king. David is in right relationship. He's known as being the great king of Israel. He's not a perfect man, but he is a man nonetheless that God has called as his own, a man that God testifies to as a man after his own heart. David was a man after the heart of the Lord. David was a man that was had more integrity than any of us sitting in here today. Believe it or not, though we know of his failing with Bathsheba, we know of some of the times when he failed and he came up short of the glory of God. But guess what? That makes him human and not a savior. But nonetheless, we can say that David certainly had the hand of the Lord upon him in all seasons and in all moments, even when he was running and hiding in caves, running from Saul, who was after his life, even when he had opportunities to take the life of the very man who pursued after him. David withheld his hand and said he would not dare touch the anointed of the Lord. David was a man, a righteous man, and yet he is here in the Psalm 122 praising for the opportunity to go into the house of the Lord. David was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Would that grab our hearts today? Would we see it as an opportunity? And not necessarily an obligation. Should we be obligated? Yes, we should be obligated. Yes, we should feel a draw. We should feel a burden to be here. But it's not only out of obligation. It's because there's an opportunity to gather in the house of the Lord. As we walk through this text, I can draw you some pictures that will help us to think on this. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We enter with a spirit of joy. That's why I caught Matthew in between Sunday school and services, or actually during Sunday school. I delayed him a bit, and I said, Matthew, you think we can throw in there's joy in the house of the Lord? Just while people are coming in, it doesn't have to be, hey, everybody get ready, open, whatever, look up here, let's sing. Y'all just take off and sing. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Why? I wanted us to think about that, right? Well, I wanted you to come in with thanksgiving and praise. I wanted you to be excited to be here, not because you had to. Not because the preacher may miss me and say something to me next week. Not because the Sunday school teacher might notice I'm not in here and might call the house. Not because the neighbor that shares a pew with me might notice I'm not here and they will call and bother me about it. But you had the opportunity to come into the house of the Lord, to lift up your voice, to sing praises to the one who has saved your soul. It's more than just going because you need to get checked off on the sheet and be known as being present. Psalm 95, verse 2, has the same exact language. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are all the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain, they're all his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Psalm 33, says, sing to him a new song. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all of his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Listen, when we come in here, we should be joyful. Loud voices, like you can't sing. Let me tell you the beauty about coming into a church to worship. I don't have the best voice. Everybody can say amen or just kind of like agree with me, and let's not be ugly, okay? Be sweet. You can't hear me if all of you are singing. It's a joyful noise. You can be off time. You can be off key. You can sound like a cat, long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. That's some country. That came out. Cornbread again, Paula. But when there's 100 people singing, nobody's looking and going, whew. Praise the Lord for their voice. No, you're amongst the throngs and myriads of voices. When we think about the sound of the temple of God in heaven, it sounds like it says that there was a roar like many waters. This is in, Revelation 19, as the bridegroom comes for the bride, and all the nations and all of those present in heaven are singing, and it sounds like the rushing of mighty waters. There's so much noise that not one voice is heard, but it's a multitude of voices being heard. And David feels this going in. Listen, they have been estranged, as it were, from the presence of God. The ark has not been in the house, but it's coming home. And David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hear what happens here. I want you to hear the attitude. It is a joy for David, righteous David, to be invited by them. Who are the them? I don't know. The multitudes, the group, the crowd, the congregation is speaking to the sweet psalmist of Israel, the king of Israel that's the most noted. And he is saying, I'm glad when they invited me. You know what it says? David, you're worthy to come. David, we want you to be a part of our worship service. Imagine the bystander who's in a world of hurt in Titus, Alabama, at Kim's on Friday morning, and somebody from New Home comes in, and they have the joy of the Lord in their heart, and they say, hey, come with me into the house of worship Sunday. You lifted their countenance. You have considered them worthy to be in the presence of the Lord alongside of you. Do you see how your effect can be felt of how you view church and how you get excited about going? You know how it looks when you walk into Kim's on Sunday before you get here and you're like, I got to go to church. I got on my suit. I look right. I'm so mad. Biscuit ain't hot. Coffee don't taste good. Whatever it might be. It's not the case. David doesn't say anything about being down. He says, I was glad. My spirit was lifted when they considered me worthy to come with them. When I was invited into the multitude to go and worship the Lord. Joyfully gathered in worship. Our worship testifies to the value we see in the object being worshiped. Let me say that again. Now, when we come into the house of the Lord, there's one object to be worshiped. I'm not giving you idols here. That's not what I'm saying. But the way that we worship testifies to the value we see in the object we are worshiping. So many things we may want to weigh in on how we worship, because we may have our value in the wrong place. Let me tell you what else it says. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sinner, you can come. Sinner, you can come. You know why I know that? Because I can come. Maybe you want to write that down too, or maybe you don't. whoever, you can come because I can come. And it's joy to be able to. And by the way, not because you're righteous, but because of the very opposite of that, because you are unrighteous, you can come. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician. Only the sick, only really the sick can come. We're all sick. Sinner, you can come. I know because I can come. They said unto me, even me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There was a moment in time when I wasn't the pastor at New Home Baptist Church. And someone said unto me, even me, come. Let's go to the house of the Lord. An invitation so sweet, so cherished, and so blessed. What a wonderful opportunity. But I'm not worthy. Worthy? No one's righteous. We're not all unworthy. As David said, I was glad when they said, this is the king of Israel. This is the man after God's own heart. And he rejoices that he had been invited. None is worthy. None is righteous. No, not one. This is where the gospel comes in. But you are made worthy. And you are made righteous through faith in Christ and him alone. It's not because you quit hanging out with the boys on Sunday night, Saturday night. Matter of fact, let me just, don't hear that. Hear a Savior redeems souls. Hear a Savior cleanses sinners. Hear that the gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover all of your sins. Hear that there is joy in the house of the Lord. Hear that there is peace in the house of the Lord. We'll get there in just a moment. Listen, all can come in. None is worthy on their own. No, not one. But God, rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ Jesus. By grace, through faith, you have been saved. Not your own works, lest any man should boast. Listen, I have nothing to brag about except Christ has redeemed me. Christ has redeemed me. And even being redeemed in Christ, my personal righteousness is filthy rags before the righteousness is required to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it himself, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know what that makes it? An impossibility for anyone under their own effort to enter in. You must be born again. If you're visiting with us this morning, hear that above all things. Be born again. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. As the Spirit draws you, confess your sins, ask for forgiveness. Do you know that a person that is not guilty of any transgression cannot receive a pardon? Write that down. Not really. Just think on it. Until you're willing to admit that you're guilty, you cannot be pardoned of your guilt. So how do we come? How are we pardoned? How are we reconciled? Just as we are, in honesty and in transparency. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love and abundant mercy. You call upon the name of the Lord. Even as I say that, I go, that is so simple, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to. It's what God said. That he imparts upon us the righteousness of Christ through faith in him. Listen to the joy of being in that place. I may not get through all this, but it's okay. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Where does it say that the people of God are? Within the city gate. Within the city gate. What in the world does that mean? Gate? The gate is an object of security. The gate is the means by which you enter in. If you'll think about some scripture, when Jesus was on the earth teaching, he said things like, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He lays himself down so that he can protect the sheep. They used to lay in the sheep gate so that nothing could come in. Jesus goes, if anybody came in another way, they're a thief and a liar. But Jesus has provided a way. And here it says that our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. They have enjoyed the safety and the security of a city that is fortified by God. That the gates are open to all of those who would come through by faith and repentance, but then it is closed to the enemy. Nothing can access you, drag you away anymore. They're standing inside the city gates, the high and fortified walls of Jerusalem, especially spiritual Jerusalem, offer a security that is impenetrable. The gate is closed against the enemy. This is the city of peace, Jerusalem, the city of peace, the new Jerusalem that we long for in heaven, yet we await to get there. But we can know this, the peace of God right now. We sing a song often, our God is a mighty fortress, or a mighty fortress is our God. His house is impervious. This is what it is to be able to come into the house of the Lord. We're able to come in. We're able to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We can come into the church and the rest of the world is shut outside those double doors. And just for an hour, every week, if you can stand it, it is a time of peace. You can rest your soul. You can be encouraged by the people sitting beside you. You can be loved and prayed for. You can be held and embraced. Because at the end of service, guess what? We're going back out that door. And all of that is waiting outside. Come here into the fortified city. Experience the peace of God that surpasses understanding. Hear the word of God. Pray. Sing songs. Be reminded that God has snatched us out of this filthy mess. And just for a little while today has given us a place, a city of refuge. As it were, in the middle of a world of conflict. I said last week the new home or the church is a standard of truth. And Tanner and I talked about it this week. Is it the standard by which we are measured? Yes, there is that. We do testify to the truth. We do all of those things. We speak the truth in love. We encourage you to come out of sin and walk in the light. We encourage you to be a child of light instead of a child of darkness. But even greater still, or even part of that, is I said a standard in Titus. I mean that steeple outside stands high because this land has been declared holy by those who built this building. In 1953, when the bricks of this building were laid, the people of this community said, "This is holy ground set apart for the glory of God." And like 1993, they took a brass steeple off the top of the building out there that wasn't about 6 foot tall, and they put that ginormous one that pierces the skyline of Titus, Alabama. Why? The standard of truth is raised high here at New Home. And we are saying that we belong to God, that this is hollow and holy ground, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, just as Jesus said. We are built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. That's what you come into on Sundays. Let us go into the house of the Lord. What great joy can we have to escape the worries and the woes, the hospital appointments or the hospital stays or the cancer diagnoses or the loss of loved ones or the car wrecks or the missing in the hurting or the all of this. You can come in here and at least for a little while you can breathe the air of refreshment that comes when you're in the house of the Lord. Listen, we are secure within the city. He's a mighty fortress. Psalm 62:6 says, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." Listen, Jesus tells us in John that no one can snatch us out of the hand of God. You're in the house of the Lord. We should want to be here. We should want to be here, built on the foundation. It's bound together. All the words, I can just read it. I'm running out of time. Jerusalem is built as a city that is bound firmly together. It's not cobbled together. It's not straw and sticks. No, it has a grand architect called God. And He designed it. And He knit it together. And He formed its walls. And He gave it the chief cornerstone of Christ Jesus, which all the building that we are is held together by that. Peter talks about we are a royal priesthood, that we're being built into the house of God, or built into the kingdom of God, and Christ is the chief cornerstone. Listen, God has designed this thing to withstand the test of time, to be a testimony here in Titus, Alabama, of the goodness of God, and we should never neglect the opportunity to gather together here to be reminded of the goodness of God. Now, let me just say, I'm sorry if New Home has ever hurt your feelings and you have felt cast out. There are those that's the case. I'm sorry for that. And if I did it, I need to know.
But don't quit. Don't give up. Still, the house of God is still a place of peace. We keep walking through Psalm 122. We see that there was many tribes and nations and tongues. Listen, all the tribes of Israel were under a different name, whether it's Benjamin, Dan, Manasseh, Ephraim, whoever it was. They were all different, but they were one body of people that was set apart for the glory of the Lord. It was a testimony for Israel. The ESV says it was decreed, but a better translation is it was the testimony of Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. When we come here on Sundays, guess what we're saying? There's value in being there. When we don't come and people know we're a member of a local church, what did we say? Nah. When you got time, and when I got time, we may see one another there. Don't hear polemic. Please don't hear judgment. I want you to think about it. What do you say? What are you saying? What are you saying when we set church aside for anything else that comes along? We gather as a testimony. Israel made a journey 3 times a year as a witness to the nations around them. We too bear witness by our weekly gathering. You say, well, if church was only 3 times a year, we'd come. I don't know, would you? I'm afraid not. Statistics say everything opposite of that. The less that you gather, the less you will gather. Man, so much more here. So much more here. We gather to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The thrones for judgment were set. Listen, this is a place where the scales are always just. Not because of the people that make it up, but the God that reigns over it. You know what God says? Man, all y'all guilty, but I provided a pardon. Scales are just. You're not rich. You're not poor. You're not of great clout and of lowly, humble, existence. We are one body, one nation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father. See it. Church is a place where there's a great unification. Not uniformity, but unification. We are all equal before God in Christ. The house of God is where the scales of justice are true. It's the house of righteousness. Our hearts long for justice, the punishment for the guilty. Read Revelation. How long, O Lord, will you delay? It's in Habakkuk. How long will you hold your hand back? It's the house of punishment for the guilty, but it's the home of the mercy seat for those who will cry out. It's the home of the mercy seat. It's where the guilty come to be pardoned through the blood of the Lamb. Think about Isaiah last week. We looked at Isaiah 6. When he beheld the glory of the Lord, he fell on his knees, said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And it says, one of the seraphim came down with tongs and removed a coal from the fire, and placed it on his lips, and said, your sins are atoned for. When we think of David, the psalmist that wrote, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This same David had a terrible fall with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, he talks about this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love and your abundant mercy. He pleads with God to forgive him of his failings with Bathsheba, of his shortcomings before the holiness and the righteousness of God. This is where the judgment seat is. David is praying to the judge that could condemn him in his trespass. But David understands that it's not about blood of bulls and goats, but about a broken and contrite heart. It's about being honest before God. It's about saying, I'm not worthy, God, but will you make me worthy? Listen to what happens when David pleads in Psalm 51. He later writes Psalm 32. I know it sounds odd, but this is the way they're written. Here's what he has to say. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then listen what he says. Here it is, right? You come into the house of the Lord. You come before the judgment seat of God. There, you can stand guilty before him. Unrepentant. Not covered by the Lamb of God's, the blood of the Lamb. And in your own righteousness, to which you will fall woefully short. Or you come before the judgment throne of God, honest and repentant, and receive mercy. I will finish with this. Verse 3 of Psalm 32. Listen how David says this. When I kept silent. Put this in your pocket. Is there anything you keep in silent? You've come into the house of the Lord. You come into the place where the judgment seat sits, in essence. Not Matt Nixon. The house of the Lord. I'm simply a mouthpiece today. I feel every bit of the weight that I'm telling you right now. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up like the heat of summer. Selah. Think about that. Matt, what in the world does this have to do with coming into the house of the Lord? Because this is where you get to hear what I'm about to say. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, you came in here one way, but you can leave a totally different one. Nowhere else in the world will you hear this outside of the house of God. And you go, I listen to a podcast from a person who serves in the house of God. It's not a physical house built by hands. God's not that small. But a local body is where you can come each week to be encouraged, where you can receive all these blessings of Psalm 122. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for the church. We pray for the peace of the church. We pray for the peace of God's people. We pray that they be secure, those who love the Lord, those who love the body, those who love coming together. We pray that there be peace within the walls of the church and security within the towers. We pray for our brothers and our companions' sake. We pray for peace in their own life, inside the church, outside the church. We pray for the house, or for the sake of the house of the Lord, our God. We seek the good of Jerusalem, the people of God. You come together, you're joining together to do that. I was glad when I woke up this morning and it was time to go to the house of the Lord. I pray you were as well. In the house of the Lord, we are reminded of the peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus said to his followers in John 10, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then in 16, in the world you will have tribulation. Outside those doors, you'll have tribulation. Amen? Trial, sorrow, hurt, shame. And Jesus says these words to his people. But take heart. I have overcome the world. When we gather on Sundays, we're rejoicing in that. Are you glad? When someone says to you, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the blessed privilege of preaching your word. I thank you for the opportunity to gather together, Lord, in this on this beautiful day in the midst of some wonderful weather. I thank you for the refreshment of early last week when the cold came through and reminded us of your power and your might, the way that you change the seasons. Father, I don't love the cold, but I know that we must have it, for it puts to death disease and blight and all of the things. So when springtime comes, there can be new growth. Rejoice in that. I thank you that you have given us this day to worship your name, to come together into the house of the Lord, to sing praises, to glorify you. I pray that today we'd be reminded that we're not here out of obligation to anyone. It's true. You don't say you got to come, or you receive the judgment of depart. Father, help us be reminded of the reason why we come. And we come with joy and thanksgiving and praise. Not out of spite, but because we get to come to a place where your word is proclaimed, where brothers and sisters are gathered together, a city knit tightly together. Each one precious before you, precious stone, chosen, beautiful, held together by the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus. May we be reminded that that's what the church is. It's an academy for scriptures. It's a fortress against the world. It's a standard of victory. I thank you that New Home has been serving this community as long as it has. Lord, I thank you for the blessed privilege to have been pastor 7 years and counting, to walk with wonderful people, to be encouraged, to be sheltered from the world when it was eating me up, to come in here and be encouraged by brothers and sisters in Christ, to be remembered as a part of the fold, to be prayed for the peace in my own life and the peace in my family, and to know you hear those prayers and you answer them, Lord God, according to your good and perfect will. Father, I pray for those who are unable to gather right now because of illnesses. I can think of several, Lord, and you know each one intimately. I lift them to you, God. I pray for their peace. I pray for their strength. I pray that your presence be known in their home and in their heart and in their family. And then in due time, you'd strengthen their ailing bodies, so they may be able to gather again. Heard, Father, if it's time for them to come and be part of the blessed assembly in heaven, I pray that they sing the same as a martyr read of yesterday, at the time when he had received the judgment of execution, be burned at a stake. He went to the stake to be burned, singing Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For he saw his eternal home in the celestial city of eternal peace, in the presence of the great King who sits upon the mercy seat. May our eyes behold the glory of the Lord as we think about what it is to come into your house. And while this church is but a shadow of what lies ahead, you have planted it here to be used to show your glory to the world around us. I pray today that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.